Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
You tell it like it is, Dave Solomon. That's exactly right, a vision of all that is jazz. And let me tell you something. When you have a Renaissance person on the line with you that pretty much understands that to a whole different level, it is such a pleasure and honor, I can't even tell you. And how do I define Renaissance person? That means someone who is not a dilettante. Look it up in your Funkin' Wagnalls. Here's what dilettante means. Someone who just does things, most things, on an average basis. This man does everything exceptionally, extraordinarily well. Pianist, composer, arranger, conductor, music director, speaker, author, and philanthropist. It is my pleasure to give you the one, the only, God bless him, the anointed, Kevin Tony. Woohoo!
Good morning, Trisha. Good afternoon, should I say, and it is really a delight and joy to join you today.
Oh, Kevin, it is a delight to have you. I am so excited. Do you realize this buzz about Blues Alley is off the charts for tomorrow night?
Wow. Well, look, we love that because that's just, I'm excited. D.C. is, well, this is my second home. I'm from Detroit, but really I was born. My musical career and my musical, everything I do musically really was born and seasoned and gotten right in Washington, D.C., Baltimore area. So it's really a homecoming. And I haven't performed in the D.C. area in quite a while, so it's going to be special tomorrow. I can't wait to be there with the Kevin Tony 3 with my new configuration, my new sound.
Wow.
And God is good.
Well, you know what? Here is the deal. Howard University, this is who I want to focus on right now, because you were at Howard. And Donald Byrd, God bless his soul, was the teacher there. The Blackbirds were born. And
correct.
Howard University has such an array of stellar talent that have come through those hallowed halls that I need everybody
yes.
to turn out. Now, you know one of the people that's going to show up tomorrow, from what I
okay.
see on the events page, is Max Myrick, who's the general manager of WHUR. So there.
That's exciting, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Max is going to show up there, and, you know, of course, Howard University and the Blackbirds, we have a lot of history there. When HUR was in its infant days, they're just starting off, they were a small building behind the music building, Fine Arts. The Blackbirds helped, and Donald Byrd helped put them on the map. As the Blackbirds grew in stature, so did the radio station. And so it was a kindred spirit between the radio station and the Blackbirds. And, of course, the Blackbirds, for me, is that's where I got my start from. I mean, that's where people know me from. That's where my history came from. And like you mentioned, Donald Byrd, who was the head of jazz studies there. I mean, I'm this young boy, 18 years old, coming from Detroit, wanting to study jazz with the master. And so Howard University was my first choice out of two other schools. You know, I thought about going to Berkeley and Boston. I thought about going to Indiana University. But I'm glad, I'm delighted that Howard run out, you know, and Donald Byrd. And what an experience. And it's, you know, and the rest, as they can say, is really history for me. Coming to Howard, you know, immediately Donald took me under his wing. I became his right-hand man, student, so to speak, and I did everything with him. I did all of his shows that he had. It was me and the guitarist of the first guitarist of the Blackbirds named Barney Perry. And I recall when we came there, and by the way, Barney is the guy who wrote Walking in Rhythm, our biggest song, right?
Oh, yeah.
So look, our first year in school was like we were kids in a candy store because we played in Donald's jazz band. I mean, the Blackbirds weren't even thought of. And Donald was still playing his, his straight-ahead stuff pretty much and his, you know, real, real serious jazz. But we had people on the band like Joe Chambers, who at that time was was one of the House Resonance Blue Note recording artists. We had Stanley Cowell, who was on piano, as well as, you know, me. I was playing the Fender Rhodes, and Stanley Cowell was playing piano. We had Billy Harper on sax. We'd have Sonny Stitt on sax. We'd have a revolving door saxophone player, whoever was available. But just to get that experience, not having grown up in that era, was really life-changing. And then, you know, into our second year, Donald has the big hit with Blackbird, which produces the songs Flight Time and Blackbird, and he all of a sudden has this huge record, and it becomes the best-selling record of Blue Note. And then from that point, more students come into the fold, and then to our third year, the Blackbirds are formed, and, you know, we get our first recording deal with Fantasy Records, and, you know, we go on from there, you know, to be full-time students, attaining four gold records, at least 10, 15 top 10 songs, including, you know, Walking in Rhythm, Rock Creek Park, which has become the theme song to Washington, D.C., and
I know.
So forth. So that journey was really special. It's interesting. I wrote probably at least half of their songs, and some of my songs would become the CD title, like, for instance, City Life, which was our biggest record, which had Rock Creek Park and Happy Music. Title cut, you know, the title album is one of my songs. Unfinished Business, the same thing. So I had a little streak going there for a minute.
Oh, listen, for a minute, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, now living, I'm a Philly girl, but living in Baltimore for quite a while now, actually third time around, and then, you know, next to D.C., people come and go back and forth. Oh, Kevin, let me tell you something. That music from that particular period, and specifically the kind of music that the Blackbirds were turning out at that time, we're talking about the early to mid, then later 70s, which was rife with music anyway. But that particular vibe, that feel, and the transition that Donald Byrd made from the bopping stuff, hardcore jazz, into that soul infusion that he was able to capitalize on, and he felt that has had repercussions for decades. You know that.
Well, absolutely. Look, that was the music that's the blueprint for what became smooth jazz. In its most rawest form, the smooth jazz ended up becoming a polished form of that, right? But in its truest sense, you know, we really were pioneers of fusing jazz with R&B. But, you know, it was, the vocal elements of R&B, the jazz elements of improvisation, having songs, et cetera, et cetera. We were doing that with Donald Byrd. And what makes our journey exceptional is, besides doing that and having all the success we had, we were full-time students. You know, pulling out all that has not been done in history yet. So we... just to put history in perspective, and this is not to toot my own horn, but it's to be said that that's something historical. That's a historical feat to be full-time students, and particularly at an African-American university. And it's the power of how God works to do miraculous things.
Oh, it for sure is. You know, what a heady experience. I mean, you said, people don't necessarily think about this, but you're essentially a teenager and this is happening to you. Woo!
Yes.
So,
What a journey. What a journey, you know? That's a blessing. You know what's interesting, too, Tristan, is that people don't really get, and this almost takes me up a little bit to what I do now. It's interesting that also during that time, while we were making the Blackbird records, and, you know, they were popular records, and, you know, it was interesting. I got a friend, good friend of mine, Ray Parker Jr., who always jokes with me. He said before he became famous and, you know, started recording, he used to look up to me. Now, Ray and I went to high school together. We were longtime buddies and stuff. But he used to say, well, look, you know, you, Kevin, are one that influenced me to get into, you know, wanting to become a recording artist. But what I'm trying to say is, while we were doing those things, I was also playing in D.C. mainstream jazz when I was not on the road with the Blackbirds. I used to make records with a DC legend who is still amongst us and is a genius named Andrew White. He's a saxophonist.
Oh, wow.
He's done all the transcriptions on the Coltrane music and Charlie Parker, and he went to Howard University. And Keith Kilgo, who was the original drummer in the Blackbirds, and I would make records with Andrew. We'd do gigs with him. We'd do gigs with other people in D.C. and Baltimore, like people like Ethel Innes.
Oh, yeah.
With them. And so it's interesting that as I make my new record now, you know, the New American Suite, people have, you know, some of them are surprised that, well, I play this kind of music, or serious jazz, or I play straight ahead, or I can, you know, I can play a trio music, or I can do this. Well, I'm only doing what I really started off doing. Before there was the Blackbirds, when I was just a kid in Detroit, that's all I did play was just pretty much traditional jazz. And so, you know, I'm just returning right now to my roots, my original roots that I had. And I'm returning to my roots, but I'm also putting everything together as I, you know, it's interesting. This year I'm celebrating just 40 years as a recording artist.
Oh, absolutely, Kevin. And it's just amazing because here you are. Honestly, you've got this new lease on life. It's as if Kevin Tony has been reborn.
Absolutely. And that is without a doubt the most exciting part of this journey. So it's just like, wow. You know, probably people at my age now, or I shouldn't say even my age, but who have had this experience would probably look at the end of their journey or saying, well, look, you know, I did this, that, or the other. Well, yeah, I did this, that, and the other, but you know what? My greatest things to do and my greatest work is really ahead of me. I'm just really touching the surface right now, and God has so much for me in so many areas as I've learned to be true to his calling and to surrender to him and to his will. And once I found out that doing God's work and God's will is the greatest thing we can do and it's far more important than our will, then things have changed. And so, yes, it's interesting. I'm the guy who was doing it in the park, doing it after dark, oh, yeah, to now, not only the New American Suite, but also with this, as I have a new book, and that's something we can talk about. I'm now walking as the virtuous man breaking the men's code. That's a far greater walk than I could have ever imagined, and I'm excited about all of those things.
And here's the thing that is so baffling to folks who have not tasted the magnificence of God's grace, Kevin. Seriously,
yes.
What people perceive of as what they want in life, there is nothing that compares to the high that you're going to get once you pay attention to what God wants for you.
Absolutely, for sure, without a doubt. And sometimes, you know, it takes people longer than others to get there. For me, Trish, I thank God it's never too late to learn that message. I learned that in my early 50s. And so now I'm glad that I can walk differently, and God has given me the opportunity, the second chances. He is certainly a God of second chances and opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And so this time, as I walk, to really get it right and to know that it's about serving God with our gifts, wherever we are, you know. It doesn't mean that, you know, you serve God. God is not only, you don't only just serve him in the church by going to church every week. You do it every day in your walk. You do it wherever you work, whether you work as a musician, as me, or whether you work as a composer, whether you work as a student or a teacher. All of these things is what we do. And then that's how the body of the church goes outside of the church and becomes the body of the world, doing the work that we're supposed to do.
Well, there's an interesting and beautiful poster that's being passed around Facebook right now that says, "Grace is more than something you say before a meal." Man, when you find yourself really wanting to do what you are supposed to do, what you have been called to do, you know, Kevin, we have seen people through the years, and there is nothing sadder than someone who just has fallen short of what their particular gift was. And then we see other people who have absolutely blossomed like you. Would you have ever thought in your wildest dreams that once you were obedient to that call, all these other doors would be opened up to you? Here you are, an author of a book that has created an absolute healing for thousands of people. Now you're a speaker,
yes,
and you speak about
yes
that book. And now
that's
your
correct
your music has returned to you, and you're finding such satisfaction, a new kind of satisfaction in this music. It's like inspiration is coming to you on a daily basis,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. Absolutely so. And, you know, it's a bittersweet journey. But I say bitter is the part that you're not paying attention early in your life. You know, I didn't anyway. And, you know, you're not paying attention to how God calls you. You misuse your gifts. You think it's all about you and your talent and your abilities. And so, you know, that's the bitter part, because you don't really understand why, you know, God gave you those things to use them right. And the sweet part is that when you can come through all that, because God is always calling us, you know, he's always knocking on our door to serve us and to serve him, is that when you're able to be obedient to those things, yes, then the sweet part is he opens up all these other doors. I would have never thought in a million years that I'd be traveling as a speaker about fidelity in marriage. You know, and trying to have that mission to help. You know, like now, for instance, as we talk about it now, my greater mission than music is to really help men break the cycle of infidelity, to remain faithful to their wives and mates, and the tools for them to achieve it. Now, I would have never, you know, again, that's me going from Rock Creek Park to the virtuous man. I would have never thought that, you know, that journey was even possible. But, you know, here it is, and I accept it, and it's my path. And now I know that music becomes the appetizer and the dessert, but the main course is what God's mission, you know, for me to do that. So now God has positioned me. You know, I always say this. I don't always say this, but I do understand that in your life, God prepares you, then he positions you, and then he propels you. So I believe right now God has certainly prepared me through the bitter and the sweet, you know, through the success, the early success in my career, through my marriage, through my failures. And he's also, you know, certainly positioned me as I do the things I do now, as I travel, as I talk, you know, coming up with the book. The book is just a reflection to give glory and honor to God. But now I understand that God is in the process of propelling me to do his work on a large scale that's going to be effective for the kingdom. So that's fascinating.
I love it. I'm digesting prepare, position, and propel.
Right.
Whoa.
I repeat. And I understand, you know, it's interesting that's the cycle, and that's how God does it for everyone who's willing to take that and understand that when he's doing that, again, we're caretakers. God gives us our gifts and our talents so that we can be the caretaker for them, so we can pass them on. You know, it's important for us to pass on everything that God gives us and to pass it on freely too. Pass it on freely because it was given to us freely, and these things that we have to, you know, to give to people freely, like, you know, it's an amazing journey. So I'm ecstatic to be on this journey right now, to be talking with you, and to, you know, not only come to Washington, D.C. again tomorrow to share my music and new music, but, you know, to share, like, you know, to share the new me, you know. And, you know, the Kevin Tony, like you mentioned before, that people saw in pictures and when they met, you know, years ago, and I'm not that same guy, you know. I'm not walking the same way. I'm the same guy, but I'm not walking that way. So I'm thankful for that, that I can do that. And like you said, it enriches my music now. You know, it connects me to what's essential in music. You know, the soul of it, the spirit, how it moves people, how it motivates people, how it blesses people. You know, they say truly music is a universal language, and I believe that. And we're going to be doing some universal sounds tomorrow, Tuesday, September 10th at the Blues Alley. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, and listen, there's a whole lot to say in response to what you just said. First of all, I'm going to get to one of these powerful tunes from New American Suite. You know what? To call it a tune seems disrespectful. A piece from New American Suite that is just so wonderful. And here's the beauty of you coming to Blues Alley on September the 10th, Kevin. It's the precipice before September the 11th.
I know,
so
the day before.
This is so amazing that it's just God's timing, because all of these particular magical pieces of music were inspired by the spirit of America. So,
absolutely, you get it right.
You know, this might send a more inspiring message than you might have ever believed possible to hear this music on September the 10th. So I get chills thinking about that.
Well, you know, that's really a really great perspective to have. You know, because, you know, it's interesting, which brings up that the music we wrote for New American Suite, they're more than just a bunch of tunes with names slapped on there. This is a concept CD. If music can paint, if a picture can paint 1,000 words, then music can paint 1,000,000 words.
Yes.
Maybe I'll say that, okay? At least anyway,
yes.
Because New American Suite is a concept about the spirit of the new America that we live in, okay? I wanted to paint a metaphor of where we at in society now with the new America, that the new America has so many, well, here's the song speak for itself. For instance, New American Suite, the title track, really talks about the diversity of the new America that we live in, and that it all acts together as one. New American Suite is, in fact, a suite in 3 or 4 parts that have different elements that are reflective of our society. I've got a song on there called A Soulful Union, which really speaks metaphorically about getting back to the original spiritual roots that this country was built on, and our forefathers. You know, that when they put the Declaration of Independence together and all those documents, they were also infused with the Word of God's truth about certain justices and liberties, so on and so forth. So that's what I'm talking about, a soulful union that's reflective of God's soul and how he rests with us. Just a few other examples about the New American Sleep. There's a piece on there called Spacious Skies. And Spacious Skies, of course, we know was in the War of 1812, you know. So, you know, we talk about the spacious skies of America, the land of the free, the vastness of the skies, you know, the vastness of everything and anything is possible in a good way in the new America that we live in. I've got a piece on here called Unibus Plurum, Out of Many Come One. It used to be a dollar bill. And so what that means on this piece was that out of many, there's a diversity of America that we have so many. The new America is about that diversity really coming into one unified country, just like the musicians are diverse. And E Pluribus Unum means that the musicians come together as one. I've got a song on there called Family Times, Getting Happy. And that song is reflective of the fact that the family is still central to the new America. We can't get away from that. The family is what the American society is built upon, and getting happy means the joy that you have from that. I'll mention one more piece, because it's very reflective, too, of the new America, and it's the one non-original piece that we recorded called The Entertainer. We wanted
Love
to take
it.
Scott Joplin's masterpiece, right, and we wanted to set that into the framework of 2012-2013. Everyone knows the song. People have heard it, but you've never heard it like this before. And so the idea was to take something that's classic from really, truly one of the first original great early masters and to bring his music and make it relevant to the day. So that's what the New American Suite is really about. And I think we have succeeded in capturing that essence. And you know what? We want New American Suite. We want this music to be one. We want it to be thought-provoking. We want it to be entertaining, right? We want to entertain you. But we want to also have people use this as a conversation piece. So when they're looking at this piece, when they're listening to it, and even looking at it, by the way, on the front cover, it's a very wonderful piece of art from a renowned painter named Richard Mayhew. And the piece is called, it's a watercolors piece, and the name slips me right now, but it's a very important piece of work by Mr.
It's beautiful.
Richard.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
So this is to be thought for broken and to just draw people into the new America that we live in, and to continue to make that work. So it's a spiritual piece. It's just as well as the virtuous man breaking the man's code.
Well, here's what you're able to do, and I wouldn't have thought to tell you this unless I read about this morning, because I was looking to see some of the musical acts that were coming to the area, and I was just so excited about you at Blues Alley tomorrow night. And then I saw that the reformed Blood, Sweat, and Tears are now touring.
Wow, and how about that?
How about that? I was really intrigued. And the premise of Blood, Sweat, and Tears back then is the same as it is now, I am told. And this is what you do, Kevin. You bring the concept of jazz to audiences that normally wouldn't pay attention. That's what you do.
That's a great way of putting it, yes.
You really do, because when people hear The Entertainer and then they hear A Soulful Union, which we're just about to hear, it goes to the core of people who would normally be predisposed to listening to classical music or pop music. Or, you know, they're coming to you because they're expecting to see some R&B. And instead, what they're going to get is a kind of healing, because all of that soulfulness is there in your music anyway, because that's who you are. But when they hear these pieces as an entirety, it's as though they're hearing this musical journey that might be their own. It's a beautiful thing.
Wow, that is such what a great way to frame the music. It makes me think of, like, when you mention those pieces, for instance, you know what, musically, what we were trying to achieve was a soulful union. I shouldn't say what we tried to, what it came out was that's an infusion of, like, jazz, gospel, and rock.
Mm.
I guess that's a good way of seeing how that's how all three of those worlds intertwine. The Entertainer came out to be, you know, a mix of jazz, classical, and perhaps reggae, you know, all kind of put together in a unique fashion, you know. If I had the best kind of give you a descriptive narrative of what those musics, you know, what that combination was. So, yes, I get it. You know, people can, you know, it's interesting. I've had people come up to me and say, you know what, after listening to you or seeing you in concert, you know what, I'm going to buy my first jazz record. You. So I said, well, hey, praise God, that's pretty good if that moved you like that. And, you know, what's beautiful about this is this. I truly believe that the music that I'm making and the music that we're making as a Kevin Tony 3 is reflective of the journey that our great jazz musicians, quote-unquote jazz musicians, have made historically, or what have made jazz great, which is the ability to morph and create new things. I mean, what made Duke Ellington great was he was, at his period of time, he was about taking the music of the day and moving it forward. He was also about playing and performing with the rhythms of the day, too, right? Duke Ellington, when his music came along, was the dance music of the day was swing. So guess what his jazz was based upon? Swing rhythms. Miles Davis, everyone talks about how creative Miles was and the fact that Miles divided the beyond categories, and he kept pushing the envelope, and he kept doing these things. He kept creating him. Coltrane, the same thing. These musicians continued to push the envelope, and they just didn't settle for what was there at the time, just to ride the coast and just to ride the wave. They were about pushing the envelope further. And I believe, in my own way, that God has gifted me with that opportunity and vision to even four decades later to continue to push those boundaries.
And thank God that you have had the revelation to think along those lines, Kevin, because, you know, this is a pretty deep thought. We get into these conversations all the time with people in regard to jazz, and it's so amusing when people try to put names that you just said, like, for example, Miles Davis and John Coltrane, in a box as to suggest that they were the proponents of straight ahead jazz, and if you deviate from that, that means you're not playing jazz. Well, let me tell you something. As you know, they were the creators of constantly evolving new jazz. So,
yes.
what
Absolutely.
Is one person's concept of what jazz is? There are more than just one person's concept. You know, this music was certainly born on the shoulders and the backs and the soil and labor of African Americans in this culture in America. But you know what? It has become everybody's music. So there are different interpretations of that all over the world. And you are right. When you are able to perceive that what you are creating, and it's just making you so happy, because this
right.
is music that is inspired by your thoughts, your feelings, your heart, your soul. You're creating something, and the great ones always did. The lesser artists always followed what the great ones did.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that's important that you mention that. In fact, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned this box, because I believe for myself, and I'm sure of this too, that my music is far greater than any limitations that the world puts on jazz. Jazz
yes.
is a beautiful term and a beautiful exploration if it is understood and respected properly. You know, jazz to me means it's a musical journey of improvisation, of infusion. You're able to take in everything, and it is an interactory form of music that you play with other musicians, so you can create different tapestries. My music
is
eclectic to all my experiences, and to just limit and say Miles Davis was a great jazz man or Al Tatum is a limitation. But you know, look, I take that because we have to put categories or titles on certain things so that the world can market them. I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm hopeful that as I move forward, that people will see my music and the music of jazz, but particularly I'll just speak for myself, as music that's just great instrumental music. How about that?
Well, with that being said, let us turn our attention to this wonderful new American suite. And actually, Kevin, you said this before, maybe the addendum album for this should be New American Suite, S-W-E-E-T.
Well, how about that? Because we, as we talk about the New American Suite, we're talking about S-U-I-T-E right now.
Right, right.
I got it. Okay. I will keep that in mind, okay?
All right. Well, this is a soulful union. This is something that our chat room is going to enjoy, and anyone who is listening at this moment or will be in the archives. Kevin Tony is our guest on Hybrid Jazz. Let your ears feast. That is amazing. A Soulful Union, New American Suite, Kevin Tony. Kevin, the chat room is going back and forth talking about what the song makes them feel like.
Well, that's interesting. What does that make them feel like? It's got a lot of interesting elements, for sure.
Well, let me go back. Let me go back to the conversation, because Griselda is here from Texas, and Beach is here from Southern California. Yolanda is here from California. And Griselda, yes, Griselda says, let me see if I can go back in the conversation. She says, what I'm seeing with this, a scene in a TV or a film or TV show where the main character is driving on a long stretch of highway.
Well, that's it. I get that. Well, that would be the high. I get it. Okay, I'm on a long highway, that's for sure. I'm still on that journey.
Yes, you are. And you know what? This is really, I can't remember, and I knew that I was supposed to do research about this, but in listening to New American Suite, honestly, Kevin, I was thinking about what I learned in the days at Temple University. We learned about these great American composers who lived at the beginning of the century. And your music popped out at me so strongly. It's like I didn't even live during that time. I mean, I'm old, but I don't remember that time, but I remember the music that reflected those early days of America. And that's what it reminded me of. Plus, it's like UB Blake came into your fingers a time or two.
Hey, well, that's pretty good. You know what? You're right. I mean, it's like, well, it's just the spirit that's in us. And again, music is such a beautiful experience because you can journey. Like you said, UB Blake or whoever, whatever spirits that run through my fingers, that run through my heart, that come out as an expression. It's just beautiful that you can do that, and that, you know, you catch yourself by surprise, you catch other people by surprise, and say, hey, that's just God's beauty. That's how God wants us to connect everything together.
I think so. And you know what? I'm so glad that you said that, because in more than ways that suggest tolerance. I can't stand that word. Tolerance is patronizing. What we need to do is lay aside that word and understand the ways in which we really relate and embrace instead of tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
So
when
we hear that those kinds of things that suggest familiarity, it is so beautiful, because it means that you're one step closer to recognizing that we really are a family.
And you know what? There are so many more things that connect us than separate us. So, you know, it's like looking at the jar or the glass and saying, it's half empty. No, I believe that it's half full, and that the best parts of it are yet to take shape. And let's work on what connects us better as a country, as in our music. Like, for instance, this brings on this whole conversation. I do want to go back to what your people in the chat room were saying, but it begs me to say this, it's like with the word jazz. How come every jazz just can't exist? It's just good music. Why does it have to be you have that station over there, that station over there, whatever? You know, put them all together. I think that's what the people need to learn how to respect and understand, that good music or good jazz, however you want to call it, just should be there all together. Because it's more there that connects jazz. Like, for instance, you know, the piece you just heard there, it's got nobody, you know, well, of course you might say I'm biased, but it's got all the elements of what any jazz piece, a great jazz piece, would have. The only thing that might be different is its rhythmic context. Should jazz music or should music suffer or be penalized because it uses a certain rhythmic context? I think not.
Oh,
anyway,
no. Oh, my God. Are you kidding? We could be talking from here to next week about this.
Yes, please. We could. I know that that opens up a whole other conversation about, you know,
oh, and, my gosh.
But I think shows, but here's the beauty. Shows like what you're doing, Trish, really are, see, we're in a new bridge area in time and history right now. In 2013, I truly believe that, you know, people say, well, look, we've lost a lot of jazz stations, or the smooth jazz thing that went out, and where is the music now? Well, look, to tell you the truth, everything is going to change, and everything has a season. And I believe right now we're in a season that we have the opportunity to reset and redesign and to use the technology to define and make new bridges of music. So your show is a perfect example of that.
Well, I appreciate that, Kevin. And here's what people do with the show, because people, for whatever reason, are intent on having what their concept is in their mind of what the show should be. It's called hybrid jazz because there is an absolute allowance for what people think of as straight ahead or what people think is contemporary and everything that falls into those cracks. You know, I've tried to tell people it is not a smooth jazz online radio show, okay? It's not. It's hybrid, and it's not one or the other. It's everything under one roof so that you can see the diametrically opposed kinds of jazzes and have everything integrated in such a way that you go, oh, my God, I didn't know that I liked that, but I do.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. Well, that's perfect, and I want to just, you know, just give shout out and kudos to what you're doing and the impact that you're having, and the opportunity that you have to forge something different and to forge a new way of thinking about it. So continue success with what you're doing, and may God find favor with your pursuit and your journey here and all that you do.
Oh, well, bless you, Kevin. I appreciate that coming from you because you have been, to my way of thinking, and of course I'm now drifting back to one of your earlier songs, Kings, which is a favorite of many a person in the Baltimore, D.C. area, that's for sure. Kings was so magnificent, and you actually, in the past several years, have been the king of epiphanies. One right after the other has come to you, and I wanted to make sure people knew about this before we said goodbye for the hour. I want to make sure folks know about your philanthropic work because this is very important. Would you just say a little bit about the Man Formation Project in LA, which I love?
Sure. I'm part of a unique organization of men in the Los Angeles area that is called Man Formation. And Man Formation is an organization of men getting together to help young men with the passage of rites, to help them learn godly standards and godly perspectives on life and how to apply them. And we reach out to any group of kids. It just so happens that our predominant audience right now is in the inner city of Detroit, and you know it addresses Hispanics, African Americans, and just other nationalities, where basically most of these kids and these young men come from single parent homes, where the father is usually absent, and so we are filling in that role, or we are, shall I say, not filling in so much that we're reaching out to give them mentorship and guidance so that they can achieve higher and have a higher standard to know what's right, what's wrong, and how to and to have men that they can see their mentors. You're about the group of 20 of us mentors. We meet every month, and, you know, we get into the community and work with those kids and those young men on a one-to-one as well as a group basis. This from my heart, it's one of the things I look forward to doing every month. And if you want to find out more information about that, you can go online to www.manformation. And so I'm excited about that. There's one other thing that we do, too,
yeah.
that I'm excited about that I do with my wife, too, and it's called, and it's from our Tony Foundation. And what it is that me and my wife like to do philanthropy in the art-related fields. And one of the things that we do is that we go to high schools, and any school, really, that have us, we go to prisons, and we give musical performances at no charge. We go in there to inspire the kids. I have one pet school in the Los Angeles area called Inglewood High School. And for the last 3 or 4 years, my wife and I have given instruments to them, equipment. We've given our time. We come there and perform on their performances at the end of the semester and sit right next to each of those young people to help inspire and to encourage them to strive for greatness.
That's wonderful.
And that's
that
part
is
of
wonderful.
The work that we do. Yes.
Well, I wanted you to say something about it, Kevin, because lately there have been some friends in this particular region. Michael Austin
uh-huh.
is one. Michael Austin was just our guest on the show last week. He spent over 20 years incarcerated on a charge that he should have never been jailed on. He was jailed falsely.
Yes.
So instead
okay.
of turning bitter, he turned better, and he decided to go to South Africa and see programs for young people and turn them into programs for kids in Baltimore.
Wow, that's special.
Isn't it?
And that's, yes, and that's taking a bad situation and just making it, turn it around and making it better, making it really good so that it's a blessing and a plus to others. We like that. We love that.
I love the idea that you said something, because now when people listen to this interview in the archives, they're going to be continually inspired by the words that you've just said. So thank you for that. God
yes,
bless
amen.
You. Man. Woo! All right.
For sure. Absolutely.
Two things. George Hazelrigg says to say hello.
George, who now?
George Hazelrigg. He wanted us
okay.
to say hello to you from yesterday. He worked with you back in the day.
Okay, of course.
Great keyboardist. And also, we will say hello to Ray Parker Jr. for you, because Ray is touring with Joe Sample as part of the Creole Joe Show.
Yes, how about that? And Ray and Joe are very good friends. They're close friends, and heck, well, Ray Parker is one of my best friends, if not my best friend, without a doubt, you know.
Is that right?
So that is very special, absolutely. He's absolutely one of my best friends. He is my best friend, so I can't think of anybody closer who is a better friend than Ray Parker Jr.
That is wonderful. We'll definitely make sure we say hello to him on the 19th for you. And in the meantime,
sure.
there are two shows at Blues Alley for you Tuesday,
yes.
September the 10th. This is going to be tomorrow.
We're
taping this.
That's tomorrow.
Yep. Tomorrow, yep. 8 and 10, and kevintoney.com or bluesalley.com has the information.
Absolutely. Come on out and see us. It's going to be a tremendous night. And by the way, those of you who were interested in what I have to say about the book, I will have my books there as well as our CDs for merchandise for people to take home with, okay?
Oh, that's awesome. Kevin, you are amazing, and I hope to see you. I know that you'll be bombarded tomorrow night, but we'll work it out somehow, some way, so I can just give you a hug.
Well, please, you better show up. I look forward to seeing you, okay, and meeting you in person. Yes, I can't wait, okay? Please.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We will definitely see each other, and I'm definitely going to play. This is, by the way, a Kevin Tony-inspired show, so get ready for a lot of music. You can listen later in the archives, Kevin. You just make sure you get ready now to come to D.C. because we're waiting for you.
I'm packing right now, baby.
Okay. Thanks,
have
Kevin.
Have a wonderful
God bless.
Day, okay, thank you. God bless
you too. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Oh, you eat. probably didn't expect to stay that long. That's just awesome that he did. I want to play another track from New American Suite. This is, we're going to save another track for the end of the show, but I wanted to play Family Time, Getting Happy. This is Kevin Tony on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hyper Jazz.
It's not the pale moon that excites me. That thrills and delights me. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you. It's just the nearness of you. When you're in my arms and I feel you so close to me, if you will only grant me the right to hold you ever so tight, and to feel in the
there have been a lot of versions of that song through the years, because that song is decades old. Hoagie Carmichael and Ned Washington's The Nearness of You, done from the 2002 debut of Nora Jones. If you have never heard that little track on Come Away With Me, woo, that was the one that sold me. I mean, the whole album was just phenomenal. And here's the thing. Blue Note at the time was very excited because of the possibilities of Nora. Here she was, this breathtaking young pianist and vocalist who didn't sound like anybody else, and they knew that they had gold in their midst. And although Nora has done very well since 2002, honest to gosh, when you're honest about it, there is nothing that compares to that debut of Nora Jones. And the proof is in the pudding, because that album has sold more than 26 million copies, okay? So none of the subsequent endeavors have quite matched up to that. And there's a reason. There was this jazz sensibility, this languishing vocal that Nora delivered with songs. There was a song there by Hank Williams, for heaven's sake. There were folk elements and country elements, but it was basically one of those projects where people at jazz stations were going, okay, I can see this. But you really couldn't say that with the stuff that's followed. And she has become an actress, and she's doing a number of charitable endeavors. Love the fact that she embraced her daddy in years that have gone by, and thank God that she did, because Ravi Shankar passed away, and they got together. And that was wonderful, because that's another story of a whole different air shift or a radio show. Trust me, Mom and Rabbi Shankar. And then here comes Nora. Anyway, the nearness of you right there. And we heard from Kevin Tony from 2001. Passion Dance from Strut with Ronnie Laws on sax. If you did not know this, this particular album was chosen by the 2002 Winter Olympics as part of their official music. So that was pretty big. You know, Kevin Tony has a lot more money than you could possibly imagine from all the compositions through the years and the endeavors with the Blackbirds and the solo work and endorsements. It's good to know that he is doing well, and there was a time that he wasn't, when he lost everything. Phyllis had left, or actually she told him to leave at one point, and things were bad. Doors were being closed on Kevin because God had to get his attention. And when he did, he wrote The Virtuous Man Breaking the Men's Code. Man, this child has gone through some changes in his life. So has Ahmad Jamal. Just celebrated a birthday not that long ago. Here's one of our living legends. He's got a brand new CD out. I was supposed to play this last time around. You know how things go. You can program so many things, and then you have to keep them for the next show. This is Saturday Morning. That's the name of the project. The song is called Edith Cake. Edith, as in Archie Bunker's Edith. So I just laughed. I mean, I feel like I'm going crazy sometimes, because you just laugh about these things in thinking of them. And I was thinking of Jean Stapleton as the character Edith, saying to Archie, "Archie, Ahmad Jamal wrote a song about me." Edith Cake on Hyper Jazz. Enjoy. Thank you.
so beautiful.
Whew. Man, you know what it is about that particular album and the voice of Carmen Lundy? When it finally hits you the second or third or fourth time, you go, oh, my God, can that woman sing? I mean, you're really enjoying it the first time or second time, but all of a sudden you realize all of what she can do. And she makes it look effortless. Phew! So beautiful from Changes from last year. I'll never forget when Carmen Lundy was on. I was, frankly, just a little intimidated because I think of her career as formidable. And not only that, but I have seen grown men, like, take their hats off because she is so commanding a presence, even in rehearsal space. She comes prepared. She's such a professional. She is a lady in every sense of the word. And these men who come into her midst automatically think of her as an equal. So there's just no kibitzing, no funny business. There's just work the way it should be. It's just a beautiful thing. I respect her so much. And then she came on the show and she was like, oh, gee, I wonder if they'll like this project. Do you think so? She cracked me up, much like Matt Williams is doing right now in the chat room. Stop it, Matt. Carmen Lundy is so amazing. Composer, arranger, writer, actress, painter. Yeah, yeah. Also on the Terry Lynn Carrington Mosaic Project, by the way. Had some great people on this wonderful, compelling, and original piece of work. This Changes CD got a lot of really good reviews just because of the fact that Carmen has been with us for a while in her body of work. There's been a lot, but it's like this bird that had been in a cage somewhat flew out of the cage and went, here I am. Yeah, baby. Except every nook and cranny of who all I am, and we did. Beautiful. George Bohannon on trombone, Kenny Davis on bass, Oscar Castro Neves on guitar, piano, Anthony Wanzi, who is just so amazing, on trumpet, Nolan Shahid, and I wanted to tell you. Yes, here's something that happened to her. This is so cool. Recently in Johannesburg, she was at the Joy of Jazz Festival, and the former president of South Africa requested to meet her, and that's a pretty big deal. So arrangements were made, and they even had a meal together. It was a very big deal. Carmen's going to be at the Monterey Jazz Festival coming up on the 20th of September. CarmenLundy.com has more information, and just a beautiful woman inside and out. What a pleasure to have her on the show. Maybe we'll do that again. Ooh. Larry Coryell. We heard so much about him from Gary Burton when Gary was on the show last week. Oh, what a pleasure to hear about their background together and hold that thought. What you heard was Floyd Gets a Gig, one of those original tunes from Shining Hour from 1989. LarryCoryell.net has more info, but it won't necessarily tell you this bit of information. It will say part of his itinerary, which is going to be guitar conference time in France. Actually, the guitar conference band will be in France on the 11th, just a couple of days. Yeah, the 11th is coming up. And then Larry and company will head to Spain. On the 21st of September, Larry will be with Gary Burton in New York City. And I believe that Gary said that this will be the first time in over 40 years. Isn't that crazy to contemplate that? That's crazy. But it's true. So if you are going to be in New York around the 21st, it might be a real good idea to make sure you get an in at the Blue Note. And probably Gary Burton will be talking about that when he comes to Blues Alley. He's so excited about that. Ahmad Jamal. Oh, let me get my little paper here and tell you about Ahmad Jamal. Where is my paper? Do I have it here? Yeah. The NEA Jazz Master. Mm-hmm. Saturday Morning will be released tomorrow on Jazz Village Records. And it's spotlighting his original compositions. And what we heard is one of them, Edith's Cake. I have to get my pronunciation in gear because we're going to hear a vocalist who likes to pronounce words very articulately, overpronounce at times, but it's just a pleasure to hear him. And actually, anything he does is going to be okay because he just turned 85 yesterday. I'll tell you who that is later. Ahmad Jamal celebrated his birthday not that long ago, I think. I'm getting my birthdays confused. I'll look it up and tell you more. But this is so amazing to contemplate that this particular artist who has inklings of Earl Garner and Nat King Cole and Franz Liszt, the classical genius, they all come together in his fingers. Miles Davis loved Ahmad Jamal. This is how much he loved him. Miles said, "All my inspiration comes from Ahmad Jamal." So you know that you're talking to someone who is formidable in his talent. And this is something that completely fascinates me. I would love to have Ahmad Jamal on the show, but at this particular phase of trying to get him on the show, I want to be able to talk to him first to find out what time would be convenient, because he is adamant about saying his Muslim prayers at certain times during the day, and I don't want to interfere with that, so I honestly would build the show around the times when he could be free, because there is a fly on the wall of a conversation somewhere that longs to be near Ahmad Jamal and the stories that he could tell. Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. Let us turn our attention to someone that I don't play enough, and I'll be quite candid with you. For a while, I fretted about playing this artist because in some circles, and I can hear Lou Smith in my ear going, "Oh, Trish, no, please don't." But Lou, even though you're buying me a ticket for my birthday concert for Stanley Clark, I am going to play Kenny G because he's going to be at the Birchmere on my birthday, October 16th. He's also a free man these days. He's divorced. And I got to meet Kenny G a few years ago. Pictures don't do him justice, first of all. He's a very good-looking man. He's warm and kind. He's an entertainer. He's over-the-top successful. And I like this song from Heart and Soul from 2010. So I'm going to play Deja Vu by Kenny G from Heart and Soul. Lou, there, from Hybrid Jazz. We'll be right back. This is Hyper Jazz.
And I find you spinning round in my brain, like the bubbles in a glass of champagne. You go through my head like a sip of sparkling burgundy blue, and I find the very mention of you like the kicker in a whiskey or two. The thrill of the thought that you might give a thought to my plea cast a spell over me. Still I say to myself, get a hold of yourself. Can't you see it never can be? You go to my head with a smile that makes my temperature rise like a summer with a thousand Julys. You intoxicate my soul with your
For the uninitiated, you might have thought that you were listening to something that was at least 40 years old. And that is the beauty of the man that you just heard, actually, Bobby Caldwell, because there is something so magical about what he is able to do with a song. Bobby is, he just turned 62, but he is light years older, in a sense, than those years. He is just able to transport himself, and when he does that, he transports us to somewhere else. You can hear, and we just saw this, I mean, they're making jokes in the chat room about different kinds of things, not about Bobby. Everybody loves Bobby Caldwell, but there's elements of Bobby Darin, I heard Matt say, or I saw him say, and there's certainly Sinatra there, because Bobby actually portrayed Frank Sinatra in a production for a while. He's just capable of so much more than meets the eye, and I feel as though he's one of these underrated talents. When you see him in person, you almost put your hand to your head going, oh my God. This man is really incredible. He's funny. He's an actor when he does these songs. And he has written so many songs that have been part and parcel of our musical history through the years. He's just, well, let's put it to you this way. He's revered in Japan to the point where they think of him as this demigod or something. Yes, Mr. A-O-R, they call him. He'll be in Japan in October. For those folks who are in the States, if you are in or can be near the Oakland, California area, he's going to be on the 29th, Sundays in the Redwoods. If you get a chance to see him, and especially with our friend Andrew New playing saxophone with him and the rest of the guys in the band, it's just a beautiful scenario. You Go to My Head is the song that you heard, and Blue Condition is the name of the CD from 1996. Whew, man, sweating here in the kitchen where I'm doing the show, sweating just a little bit. Jerry Allen we heard from. That was the second song in the set. And yes, that was That Girl. What an interesting new CD award-winning pianist Jerry Allen has on Motima Records. She is exploring her inspirations. The name of the CD is Grand River Crossings, Motown and Motor City Inspirations. And the song that you heard was That Girl by Stevie Wonder. But I want to tell you, and I dropped the CD, so I got to pick it up, what other kinds of tracks that she has on here. And by the way, David McMurray is on the CD, yay, on alto sax, and Marcus Belgrave on trumpet. She has her interpretations of Baby, I Need Your Lovin', Itching in My Heart, Stoned Love, Inner City Blues, Tears of a Clown, Wanna Be Starting Something, but they're all Jerry Allen's headpiece, what is translated via her fingers onto that keyboard. Something else. Very interesting work. I know some people would go, what? But she is a formidable talent, and she can do anything she wants and make it sound divine, and she did. Whew. Kenny G, we heard as the first song in that set, Deja Vu from Heart and Soul, his 13th studio album. And KennyG.com has more information, including, if you haven't seen it, a hilarious Snickers commercial. He has no problem poking fun at himself. If you haven't seen this commercial, there is a character named Jake. All these testosterone-laden guys are sitting around at a table. Jake apparently is out of sorts. To depict this, Kenny G's in the commercial in Jake's seat playing his sax. And his friend shakes his head and says, man, when you're like this, you're a real buzzkill, Jake. And Kenny says on his website, buzzkill or not, my hair looks awesome. He is so funny. Oh, I love a man who can poke fun at himself. Mm. I could say a lot more about Kenny G. I will shut up because he's my little crush for the week, and there's nothing you can say or do about it. So there. I'm going to change flavor just a little bit to make sure that we get these songs in because Kevin Tony might be listening later on, when he's all nice and settled in his Washington, D.C. hotel room waiting for Blues Alley tomorrow night. He's going to know that there's a three-song set that had him in mind. We're going to go back to the day a little bit first and then all the way back. Here we go. This is Gerald Albright with Kevin Tony from Def Jazz back in 2005. Hey, young world, on Hybrid Jazz. Now, you know you wanted to go back to 1975, right? Yes, please. Walking in Rhythm from the second Blackbirds album, Flying Start. Whew! And we heard, too, Funky Junkie. A song that Donald Byrd wrote, and that is from the debut, the Blackbirds album, back in 1974. Now, the deal is this. And you heard Kevin Tony talk a little bit about this. Donald Byrd was a teacher at Howard University, and he had these students that showed a lot of promise. So he was the inspiration for getting together the Blackbirds group. But then again, there was a 1973 album called Blackbird that the Mizell brothers had a lot to do with. Donald Byrd was in the process of rethinking his role in jazz and getting away from the straighter stuff and heading more into an R&B infused jazz. So enter Kevin Tony and the rest of the guys, who included Joe Hall on bass, Keith Kilgo on drums, Alan Barnes on sax, man, that sounded good, and Barney Perry on guitar that Kevin talked about a little bit ago. Just some wonderful stuff that has stood the test of time. Mercy, has it ever. 70s were a wild decade, y'all. In case you weren't living then, I hope T is not listening upstairs. Oh, I better be quiet. We heard, too, Gerald Albright with Kevin Tony on Hey Young World. That song made famous by Slick Rick back in 1988. And Deaf Jazz was one of those compilation discs. It was a celebration of the 20th anniversary of Deaf Jam Records. And Tony Joseph, who was a club and radio DJ, thought it would be cool to get together some unlikely folks to do a Deaf Jazz CD. And on that particular very cool project was Hubert Laws and Rick Braun and Joey DeFrancesco, who you're going to hear in a little bit. Also Roy Hargrove, Jeff Lorber. Dwight Sills, our good buddy, was on a couple of those tracks to pay a little homage to LL Cool J and Foxy Brown, Public Enemy. Oh, I love it when it gets real hybrid. Hank Mobley, let's go back to 1960, shall we? You know I love to go back to the 60s. This is Soul Station. Man, the good stuff right now on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Yes. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Your love.
friends. Jackie recorded this when she was under some huge duress. At the time, her nephew was feared to have been lost at sea, and they recovered him. So she had to deal with the unknown, and then she had to deal with the grief, and especially it affected her father. So there's nothing that you can do. Once you have the recorded studio, that the time set etched in stone that you have with all of these superior musicians, you cannot say, hey, look, I ain't coming tomorrow. Oh, no, yes, you are, because it's going to cost you money if you don't. So she showed up, tripper that she is, and turned out some work that is so good that it stayed atop the jazz charts for a number of weeks. No surprise there. On this CD, the amazing band leader John Clayton and his amazing son, Gerald Clayton, who has been a guest on Hybrid Jazz. Whew, Gerald on piano and organ, John on bass, Gilbert Castellanos on trumpet, Graham Dechter on guitar. John Clayton and Graham are going to be, if you are in the vicinity, they're going to be at upstairs at Vitello's, coming up soon. Matter of fact, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Boshies in November. Holy smoke, if you want to see a good show, run, do not walk, to see Jackie Ryan. She is amazing. I'm serious. We have played some really good people on today's show. Oh, my gosh, look, it's woohoo! We got 20 minutes left to go. Greg Hatza and his organization from 1998. Stand Up and Be Counted from Snake Eyes. Greg Hatza is not only a master on the Hammond B3 organ, but he is also a shifu. That's Mandarin for master in the way of martial arts. If you go to the Chinese Boxing Academy website, you are going to see what Greg has mastered for over, I'm not kidding you, 42 years. Over 42 years, it's Tai Chi Chuan and more. There's no way I could pronounce what he is able to do. And let me tell you something. Greg, if you're listening, I just want to make this known. You are hotter than most men. And it doesn't matter that you are of a certain age, because you are looking as buff as men half your age. Seriously, it's scary how good he looks. He is showing up at these gigs, and I'm not going to mention any names, when other guys who are wearing their little wife beaters and they got stuff sticking out because they're not taking care of themselves, he is showing up with his arms showing. His arms look like Mr. Clean's arms. And I'll stop right there because I'll have to start fanning myself again. Hank Mobley, Soul Station from 1960, born in Georgia, New Jersey raised, yes, on the tenor sax, one of those other underrated cats. Seriously, amazing. Art Blakey on drums, Wynton Kelly on piano, Paul Chambers on it. There, I said it. Bop era performers. Yeah. Man, I have to make sure that the underappreciated get special attention here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, because that's what we like to do. And because Beach is in the chat room, and I think everybody needs to get a little more taste of the Hammond B3, here's Joey DeFrancesco. Shall we do a little bit more? Wonderful, wonderful, the name of this. Everybody dance now. Thank you.
Maybe you'll come running back to me, baby. Nobody knows, almost doesn't count.
Now, how much you want to bet that Brandy didn't flat out trip when she heard that song? Oh, my God. I love that man to pieces. Uncle Hugh, Peanuts Whalen, who turned 85 yesterday, everybody. Over 7 decades of playing and singing, Miles Davis, Nat King Cole, Ella Fitzgerald, Billy Eckstine. Yeah. And then he got a gig playing solo piano, so he learned even more intimacy. A very well-spoken gentleman who was instrumental in making sure that his nephew, Bob, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, that's the name of the CD. A new one is coming up on 924, one for Rudy, as in Van Gelder. You look up Rudy Van Gelder, and you will be astounded when you do your Googling. I don't know what to tell you about what this week will bring, because we are rearranging schedules so that we can accommodate artists who are either coming to this region or have something that will drop. Hang in there. This is Monday that we're recording this particular Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We're not going to have a show tomorrow, needless to say. Will there be one on Wednesday? Hey, might there be one tomorrow? As far as we know, there will be one on Thursday. But keep a bookmark in that thought. We'll tell you more as soon as we know.